gender day. What Thursday? Thursday. Today, yeah, it's Friday. Friday. We so excited. We so excited. We gonna have a ball today. Tomorrow is Saturday, and Sunday comes afterwards. I don't want this weekend to
end. GRB Rebecca Black.
And we so excited, to bring you, the listener, episode 39 of the Air Raid Podcast. Welcome, everybody.
Welcome to Earth.
This is the show where we drop bombs of awesome into your ear holes. I'm your host, Aaron Roden.
Hail to the king, baby.
Taking you on this... on this amazing journey.
I am on a drug. It's called Charlie Sheen.
And I've got two very, very special guests with me today. Two guys.
Oh, yeah. I like this
idea. Podcast called The Stack of Dimes, JD and Thunder. How's everything going?
Good, sir. How are you?
Good, good.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
I was a little disappointed when you guys got here because I had this picture in my mind of what you guys actually look like.
Because your face looks like a vagina.
And now all hopes are dashed. So... thanks a lot.
Was it the affliction shirt? What was it that I did?
It's JD's face tattoo.
Be nice.
I thought it was my t-shirt tucked into my jeans with no belt. I thought that was it.
We'll talk about that a little bit later, actually. So you guys are aware of Rebecca Black, right?
Absolutely.
Painfully.
We actually have... jeez. Obviously, I'm a professional at this. We actually have one. We have one in the can right now about Rebecca that we haven't released yet.
Right.
A show that we talk about it.
Good. So I'm actually beating you to the
punch. You are. Yes.
Yeah. I feel like I'm kind of late on everything, though, when it comes to this show. Like, I'm always late. I'm always late to the draw.
Yeah, I mean...
late to the party.
We're kind of the same way, just because, again, we... sometimes we record our stuff like 2 weeks before we actually release it. So then by the time we release it, it's really stale. But what are you going to do?
Hey, I love it. I love it. I'm a big fan of your guys' show. And I'm super stoked that you guys agreed to come on mine.
Ooh.
Wrong answer.
What? Huh?
You didn't get the reference? Come on mine?
Oh, no. Yes. So, sorry. Yes.
We'll put a...
You killed it.
Did you write that out before you?
Yeah. That's all written on my show sheet here. But I wanted to... let's get back to this Rebecca Black thing. Because I posted her video Friday on the interwebs on our Facebook page, which you can go and find, all of you devoted listeners, airraid.net. We got a bunch of people, you know, saying that is possibly the worst thing that they've ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
And then one guy in particular who will remain anonymous,
unless you go to your Facebook page,
unless you go to my Facebook page and check it out,
right?
An old friend from high school kind of had a little something to say about it, and I think he's coming from like a fatherly perspective, because he is a father of a young girl.
Sure.
And like he said, you know, it's not cool that we're all making fun of this girl, because like Rebecca Black is like 13, right?
Yeah.
And
although
and
you weren't unaware of that,
I assumed JD. Older, but I have no, like, I'm at that age now where I can't figure out how old kids, you know what I mean? Like, you see anyone under the age of 23,
sure.
And you're like, I
oh yeah,
know,
you
17?
Have no idea. You have
yeah.
no idea.
I mean, that's what I tell the judge.
I was going to say, your reaction earlier was like, wait, she's 13? Like, maybe you had done some business to her.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. Like, he felt bad because he masturbated to her picture the other night.
Right.
Yeah, it's like,
wait,
yeah.
No.
Give me a second. Let me think about that one for
you.
Yeah, but so this guy on the Facebook page, you know, had some stuff to say, like, we shouldn't be making fun of this girl. You know, it was just like, you know, apparently this company that does these videos, what is it, Arc Factory?
Yeah, the Arc Music Factory.
Arc Music Factory, which is not affiliated with CNC. But they do this. It's like it's almost like a glamour shot.
That was
kind
the
of
first
thing.
Cassette tape I ever purchased.
Was it really?
CNC
mine was
the Music Factory.
Mine was Paula Abdul.
My brother had Paula Abdul.
It was the jam, dude. That shit was awesome.
We just talked about CNC Music Factory in our last show because you made a short film.
I did.
To a CNC Music Factory song.
Inspired by the movie The Perfect Weapon, where at the beginning.
Oh, my God.
He does kata to Snaps, I've Got the Power. So I didn't have Snaps, I Got the Power on.
But yeah, the next best thing.
I did.
My God.
I had CNC Music Factory, so I did a kata to Let's Rock and Roll.
Wait, what's a kata?
It's like a series of it's like
remember in Die Hard 2 where the guy's like buck naked in the hotel room
yes,
at the beginning
yes,
and he's like
yes.
doing martial arts.
That's a kata.
That's what Thunder was doing at a CNC Music Factory.
It's like a set man. Kind of thing you learn if you're in karate or taekwondo
okay,
or
okay.
You're like, you know, I'm gonna throw a ridge hand here and follow it up with
right.
a sidekick. You know,
so were you naked while you were doing that?
No.
See, this is exactly the reason why I wanted to have you guys on the show because this is just magic.
Yeah,
this is magic.
Yeah.
Magic is happening.
So sorry to interrupt, but yeah.
No, not at all. Did you want to finish your thought?
No, that was it.
Okay.
That was it.
All right. So once again, back on subject.
Yes.
Okay, this guy, you know, thought that it was not cool that we were all, America as a whole was making fun of this 13-year-old girl. So Arc Factory is like a glamour shots. Like you can pay this company to basically write a song for your daughter or son, and then they sing it, and it's heavily auto-tuned, which all of you can probably tell. Hopefully all of you can
tell.
I always wonder about that, too. Like, do you think, like, because this is very popular now.
Yeah.
Like,
no,
the
would
whole
you say number
23
on
thing.
iTunes or something,
as
right?
Last time I checked was, like, Friday. This song was number 25 on iTunes.
Can we take a tangent on that? So I'm doing iPhone apps for work now. Like, where we're showing, and I had this thought the other day. I was like, I have my phone set up so it just says text message from, and it doesn't actually show me the message when it shows up.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this thought. I was like, I should just switch it so it shows me the message because it's always a pain to go into it and mm-hmm. stuff. But I was like, oh, I don't know who's going to see it. And then I'm at a client meeting on Friday, and the client's using my phone looking at this app we're making, and I get a text message from you, and luckily I hadn't turned that feature on because the message was like, that fucking Friday song's number 23 on iTunes.
Right, I did.
Like, that would have been great for the client to see. Anyways, sorry, long tangent.
So were you going that most people – Do you think
so
not?
The whole auto-tune thing like is like a real phenomenon in many songs. Like Kanye West did that.
Drives
whole,
me nuts.
I fucking hate that album.
I don't.
Terrible.
I love all of his albums except for that one. I
it's
can't
terrible.
Listen to it. I can't
Whereas,
get into it at all.
You know, the guy, obviously, he can't sing because he uses auto-tune throughout the whole album, right?
Yeah.
But it's. Do you think people actually realize that stuff is auto-tune, or do you think it's like they think it's just
it's so accepted
like,
now or something?
Well, or it's just like people don't really know what auto-tune does, and they just think it's like, oh, this effect that you put on the voice to make it sound like a robot.
I think that's what most people think, that it's
right.
just a desired,
right.
like, production-wise, they were doing this robot sound. That's what he was going for.
Right.
Originally,
right, yeah.
So you're a music guy.
Right.
So yeah. Auto-tune is part of the whatever program you're using so that you're in tune if you can't sing in tune, correct?
You could even, like, and this is what auto-tune does for normal, like, news shows or something like that. Like, who is the guy, he was doing the interview and he was like, they're going to snatch your kids up. You know,
right. Yeah.
Rapists running around town.
Right, like the Double Rainbow song.
Yeah.
The Gregory Brothers, is
you
that
can,
who did that stuff?
You can you can talk in a monotone voice like I'm doing right now, put some music behind it, and then use auto-tune, and it's like an auto-correct.
Yeah.
Just like on your iPhone.
Right.
You try to type the, and it types, you know, tits, but, whatever. But... I don't know if your iPhone does that, but my Android does. But basically, it's just an autocorrect function, so it brings your voice up to the level of what the background music is.
Right.
Ah.
So,
but originally, it was used to like do minor corrections.
Minor
right,
corrections
that's what I mean.
On people like Britney Spears and stuff like that who couldn't quite hit that top note. And then they'll use that little autocorrect so it's absolutely perfect.
Right.
Right. And so that's what it was kind of
that's what it was originally developed for. Yes,
but then people found that if you can just
talk into a microphone, you can make a song,
like, right. And it would sound weird and affected. I'm a big fan of Zapp and Roger. If anyone who listens to the show probably knows, I think we talked about this.
They're on what Sesame Street? Is that
a... No, it's like a late 70s, early 80s funk band. And they used the talk box with like a synth.
Like California
right.
love.
That's Roger Troutman.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But he plays like an actual keyboard with like a tube into his mouth. And there's like skill involved. And he's like the master of the talk box. I love Roger Troutman.
Peter Frampton was really the person who kind of brought that to the forefront.
Sure.
Right.
I'm saying as far as like keyboard, using the talk box for keyboard, where Frampton used it for his guitar.
Yeah.
I mean, do you feel like I do? Right? I mean, that's the big song that he uses that.
Right. Yeah.
But, right?
And then Van Halen.
That was pretty good. You don't even need a talk box, Thunder.
I know, that's really good. But anyways, I
And then Van Halen perfected it with Yankee Rose. Everybody knows that.
Steve Vai.
Let's get a little alien guitar in here. Yeah, totally.
Did you say Van Halen protect?
Yeah, Yankee Rose.
That is David Lee Roth with Steve Vai.
Oh, is
That's
it? I always
DLR
thought it was Van
band.
Oh,
How
Jesus.
How dare you?
Sorry.
Jeez, man. Yeah, no, what right. I'm saying I'm is like, I know
Should
that...
we apologize for JD's lack of knowledge on that one?
How dare you?
I didn't even
I
know
like
what
almost
the hell
willfully,
you were talking about.
I'm
so.
Willfully ignorant when it comes to Van Halen just because of Thunder's obsession with it.
Yeah. You probably did just say that to piss me off, like, on purpose. No, what I was saying is I know that the talk box is kind of corny, like Frampton uses it and all this
stuff.
But I was a big fan of that sound on this funk band. I think it's kind of cool sounding.
Yeah.
But so now, like, T-Pain comes out, and they're using autotune and all that crap.
And he kind of does the same thing, right? Like, I'm not very familiar with T-Pain.
Other than like the few couple songs that he had come out, but he was kind of the guy that kind of brought that robot sound. Like most people kind of associate that sound with T-Pain as far as like, you know.
He's got the iPhone app. I am T-Pain that just auto-tunes you, right?
Oh, really?
You see that?
Oh, no shit.
I didn't have it on my phone.
Can we do it right now?
We probably could here.
Yeah.
Let's talk while he breaks it out. But check out Zapp and Roger. Zapp is the
Zapp band. And Roger.
Well, the guy's name is Roger Troutman, and then he had a band called Zapp, and then he did stuff on his own.
Oh, okay.
It's good stuff. He's a good guitar player, too.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. See? We were talking about music before the show.
Here
we go. This is the old man going back. I go back to, like, the late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah, we kind of have that in common just a little bit. My whole thing, like, and I've stated on the show before that
I don't have it on my phone. I'm sorry.
Oh,
I'm
a loser. Son of a bitch.
Yeah. Loser.
That is, like, the second... big faux pas that you have laid down.
I mean, that's my fault for just assuming that.
I did have it.
I know.
I may have taken it off. I don't remember.
You got tired of it.
I did. I got
quickly reinstall it.
Your wife made you take it off because she was tired of you talking to her in auto-tune.
I literally used it like twice, and I was like, that's funny.
It's
and
like any of those
done.
Little
oh, yeah.
clever
yeah,
apps.
Totally.
I had the lightsaber one. Look at that. And everyone gets a chuckle. And that's done. It's done.
And
I realize
it's
just wasting space on my phone.
It's not like you can use that joke again on your friends, right?
I feel like the apps or like showing somebody a video on YouTube is like the same thing. It's like, I had this dream last night. Let me tell you about it. And you're like, oh, Jesus Christ. I don't want to watch your YouTube video. I don't give a shit.
No,
and then they bring
it
up and it's like 5 minutes long. You see the duration and the
scrubber
bar. You're like, oh, fuck me.
What you say,
like, where's the part that's good?
What you say is, well, if I wasn't in your dream, then I don't want to fucking hear about it.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Nobody wants
if
to hear
about it.
If I wasn't
in it and it wasn't a sex dream.
And if I am in it, usually I still, after it's all said and done, fuck, that was a waste of my time.
Two times people have said, you know, I had a weird dream about you last night, and both times it was about me sticking my big toe in their butt.
Wait, I have to say something into this thing.
Is this true? Or are you just...
No, it's not true.
Oh, damn it.
No, sorry.
I'm gullible on that shit, man.
You are. You're an old man.
I really am gullible on that
you're
stuff.
You're an old man.
Because I have had crazy-ass dreams, and I don't know if I think we've talked about it on the podcast. Like,
don't talk about it.
I know. That's not out of the realm.
Was I in the dream?
No.
Then I don't want to fucking hear about it.
Nobody wants to hear about your dream, and nobody wants to watch your YouTube video.
I would beg to differ. I think we have 457 views on YouTube of our movie. But yeah, I'm very gullible when it comes. Uh oh.
Okay, here it is.
It just
is that auto-tuned right
yeah,
there?
It is.
It's too echoey for
it. Yeah, I know. It's not working out here.
Just,
and,
okay. Oh, man.
I mean,
works.
I could do it. I don't
this
understand
is really
how to work.
Great.
We'll have to, well,
this
you
worked
know,
out
all
well.
Of you listening right now, you can go and check out this. They have this Sound Like T-Pain app.
Yeah, it's I Am T-Pain.
I Am T-Pain. Okay. So we'll check that out later. So kind of back to this thing. What?
Yeah, I'm just saying, what a failure! I'm just waving my hands at him. What a failure!
I don't even
should we start
how to
keeping count?
Thing.
Yeah. Should we start keeping count of how many times JD has failed at something during the Air Raid podcast?
I mean, you need to say something directly into it. You can't just echo the room out.
No,
you,
I was talking into it.
Because
that's not going to work.
It would have been a great segment. It would have been a great bit, but you blew it.
So I will say back on this Rebecca Black thing though that I showed it to my wife last. After we did the podcast the other night, I was like, yeah, see this video. And she's like, I don't see what the big deal is. It's just like Disney teen music. It's like that stuff comes out all the time. Why is everybody making a big deal
and
about this one?
And I actually thought that this was because I didn't think it was real at first. Like I thought it was like, oh, she's one of those stars from like California Dreamin' or like Saved by the Bell.
Right.
Do you guys remember that show?
California Dreamin' or whatever.
Do you remember that?
Yes, I know exactly.
They're like in this band.
Yeah.
The stupid high school band or whatever.
It was one of those deals where, like, okay, Saved by the Bell is hugely popular, so we've got to get another one.
Well, it was
these.
The same guy,
yeah,
right? It was the same director, producer, whatever guy.
Horrible.
I don't remember that one.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah, it was bad.
Was it as
but
good
I
as
still
Zach
watched
Attack?
It.
Was it no, not Zach Attack?
Were oh, they, that was Zach.
That was their band.
That was their band.
Obviously not.
Yeah. No, it was California Dreamin'. Wasn't it?
It was like California Dreams or
California
like,
Dreams.
Yeah.
It was like they had, the band was named after the show.
There was one guy on there who was like the kind of, the screech. It was
they had all the black drummer and, he was kind of comedy relief. You know, he made the funny faces and things like that. But then there was the one of the backup singers, the blonde girl, who was eventually the flat-chested girl that was on Baywatch. She went
Nicole Eggert?
Yeah, it was Nicole Eggert. Yeah, she was on California Dreams.
The blonde one,
though. Yeah, yeah.
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 Wow.
Yeah. Amazing. So she went on to Baywatch.
And then she went on to do Double Team, the Corys.
She did.
Yeah.
Fantastic movie, Blown Away.
Yeah.
Right? The two Corys, Double Teamer.
It's amazing.
It's amazing, man.
Yeah.
Does they show her nude?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
I think there's full bush.
I believe so. We
no
were shocked.
Way.
I think so.
I think there was.
Oh, that sounds excellent.
We did that as a...
our worst movie you can watch this weekend, on TBTL.
Oh, really? Okay, okay. I'm going to have to check that one
Thanks
out.
Thanks for listening.
You're welcome.
Okay, so we're...
Okay,
I'm,
so yeah,
we're
we
really,
are way...
I'm sorry.
Way,
no, but
we have moved
I guess Amanda's point
topic.
Was she's like, these songs come out all the time, and they're all like aimed at 10-year-olds, and she didn't see the big deal of why this one was garnering so much attention.
Well, I think once you put the... And this is the point that I wanted to make to the guy who kind of thought that I was being rude and mean. And, you know, it was a little bit, I guess. I'll take that. I'll take that punch, you know?
Yeah, I guess.
I'll absorb it.
Sure.
But I mean, it's like you put that stuff out on the internet thinking that it's good. I mean, what's going to happen? You know what's going to happen.
That
right?
was my reaction, too, because the Good Morning America did a whole segment on it on Friday.
Uh-huh.
And then it came out like the reporter... All these people were saying, how mean of this reporter. Because she point blank like asked her, can you sing?
Right,
and
right.
The little girl was like, you know, and she was actually pretty poised. She was like, I can. I don't think I'm great. I don't think I'm the worst singer. And
right,
then the
right.
reporter was like, can you do the national anthem for me right now? And she,
what? Really?
Yeah, and she busted
Jesus.
It.
This was on Good Morning America? That
yeah.
was the reporter from Good Morning America?
Yeah, and so
Holy
the
shit.
Little kid busts it out in the living room, and she could sing or whatever. And they talked to the producers that made it, this ARC Music Factory or whatever. And then I saw this whole thing online, like, how mean is this reporter for asking this child to do this? You know, all this stuff. I was like, you put that, you're right.
You
put that
yourself out there.
They probably
you
set
gotta,
it up beforehand
I mean,
anyways. Like, hey,
oh, I'm sure they did, yeah.
Oh, right,
ask you
right.
to sing.
Yeah. But you put it out there.
Yeah, and I went to the ARC Factory website.
Yeah.
Is it ARC Factory? Can I...
Yeah, it's ARC Music Factory. Is
okay,
what it's
ARC
called.
Music
yeah.
Factory. All right, but I went and checked it out, and they do like this big like concert with a bunch of like different
children. Their red carpet like event that they had.
I think yeah, I think that's what it was. Yeah. And they had a bunch of pictures of it, and it's just like, you know, the same backing band and then just a bunch of different kids up there dressed up like 80s rock stars, really, like, you know. It reminded me, do you guys ever watch that show? I don't watch it too often, but How I Met Your Mother.
I don't. I know the show. I know what you're talking about.
Well,
but I don't
there's
watch it.
There one of the characters on the show named Robin is a Canadian, and she secretly had this, like, she was like a child pop star when she was growing up, and she had this song, like, you know, she was called Robin Sparkles. And it's like, you know, it's kind of like a mashup of all like the teen pop stars, like who
Debbie Gibson.
Debbie Gibson.
Yeah, I was gonna say Tiffany
Martika.
Yeah,
right.
Like, you know, like the '80s or late eighties, early nineties, whatever.
Yeah, and she sang songs about like "Let's Go to the Mall," you know, things like that. And that's what this kind of reminded me of. And but I don't know. It just like I feel like this type of stuff just feeds this new like childhood vanity thing that we have going on in the United States right now.
Yeah, but like every parent thinks their kid's a star,
right? And it's like, or they want them they want to make them feel like stars, or something, like, which is not necessary. I don't think.
I totally agree with you.
Right, I'm going to raise my child as you're not special. You're not special. You're not good at anything.
And if you are, prove me otherwise.
Yeah,
damn it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to help your ass.
You need to work.
Yeah.
What was the Michael Ian Black has a bit about the impulse to say, like, your kid is special, or my kid's so smart, is the same impulse you have when you go to a strip club. And you're like, no, the stripper really liked me. No, I'm serious, guys.
That's perfect.
But yeah.
It really is.
I've never
really
said that, though.
Yeah. Or no, she's really working on her master's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's going to be a dental hygienist.
She's her master's right now. But yeah, it just seems to me like we're, you know, this kind of feeds the whole thing where, like, we're really, like, just breeding a generation of asshats in this country, you know, just like, I mean, you know, everybody is so, like, every kid is special, no kid can do wrong. You know, my brother is a school, high school teacher, for special ed in the, south of Seattle area. And, you know, he's always just telling me these horror stories of, like, parents coming back and being like, my kid would never do something like that. You know, it's like, it's your fault that my kid got an F.
Okay, I wasn't, like, a troubled kid. I didn't get in trouble much at school. But if my teacher or someone from school contact my parents was like, what? They would be like, what the hell are you doing?
Every time. It was like a weekly thing for me,
But now the constant story I get is, you're right, it can't be my kid.
No.
It's
no.
Like,
there's something wrong with the teacher.
Oh, like
there's
something wrong
with the other person.
Parents are instantly taking their kid's side.
Absolutely. Right. Right. And we had friends like that. I mean, I can think of one.
Yeah.
Specifically where it was there, I would go over there and hear about how, you know, his mom would be going, you know, I went and talked to your teacher and all this stuff. And I'm in the class with him. I'm like, You wouldn't talk to your son's a jackass. He's an idiot. I'm a witness here. I watched the whole thing go down, and you're defending him? Like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah.
But, yeah, I think that goes on a lot.
Yeah, it drives me nuts. And it's really, like, it's been, like, a learning experience for me because, you know, I'm going to be a dad soon, and, like, I'm watching all this stuff kind of unfold. And I think, you know, back to the guy really quick who thought that I was rude and mean to, like, be picking on this 13-year-old. It's like he's totally got a point because he's a father of a small girl. And, like, I mean, if you put yourself in that position, like, you're the dad, you want your kid to be happy and things like that, you know, like, put yourself in the position of, like, having this daughter who's, like, having her soul crushed right now because of everything that's going
on
the internet.
Or even if you back up from that, right? Like, here's my video, Dad. I'm going to put it on the internet. You're like,
let's not do that. Yeah, well, exactly. That was going to be my next point is, like, let's be better parents in this country and be like, you know what? Let's just keep that on record on the old rodent.
If YouTube would have existed when we were in high school making those shitty films that we were making, our parents definitely probably would have encouraged us to put them on the internet.
Probably.
Because anytime we showed them to anybody, like, you're so talented.
And we're
so talented. Look at, how did you guys do that?
And we would make these awful movies, and we knew we were making awful movies.
Right,
and then
we'd
show, like you'd say, our parents or something. Yeah. Oh, that's so creative. Like,
you guys are, that's it, creative. It's so creative.
Like, are you an idiot? This is horrible.
All right. Well, hey, let's go to a music before we get into this whole movie thing, because I really want to kind of delve into this. And I'll make the delve sign with my hands right here. You can't see this at home, but I'm making the dive symbol with my hands. Let's delve into this like a psychiatrist would, because I'm a doctor. A doctor of awesome. We're going to go to our first musical break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk with more with JD and Thunder of Stack of Dimes. Is it the Stack of Dimes, or is it Stack of Dimes?
The website is just Stack of Dimes.
Yeah, Stack of Dimes podcast.
Okay, we're going to talk about your obsession with movies, your obsession with Americana food,
mm-hmm.
your obsession with Randy Macho Man Savage.
I don't want to talk about any of this,
you
by the way.
Okay. Well, you have to. You're bound by contract, actually. Remember when you walked through that door?
Remember
when we took that eyeball scan when you walked through the front door?
Okay, yeah. All right.
Yeah. We're going to talk with you guys just a little bit more about like what you guys do, because I think we've pretty much pounded Rebecca Black into the ground. Once again, that was not the greatest thing to say. She's 13. Fuck me. You were talking about White Snake earlier before we started the show. You want to hear some White Snake? What's your favorite White Snake song?
I would go, well, my favorite is This Love.
Is This Love?
Yeah.
That's a great one. That's like a ballad.
It is.
Yeah.
Gives me goosebumps.
All right. This is White Snake with Could This Be Love? Is that what it is?
Is This Love?
Is This Love? Perfect. We'll be back with you in just a moment. Hey, but before we let you listen to this amazing song, we want to say a quick word for our friends down at Varelin Amplifiers. Varelin Amplifiers is a local Seattle area amplifier company. They make all custom, all tube guitar and bass amps for the seriously loud musician. And I'll tell you what, I own one of these custom made Varelin Amplifiers, and man, this is something that I'm going to keep for the rest of my life. And it seriously pisses off my neighbors. So if you want to piss off your neighbors or just sound awesome when you're playing guitar or bass, go visit VarelinAmplifiers.com. That's VarelinAmplifiers.com, the only amp you will ever need.
I have a poster. Remember I had that poster?
I own it on DVD somewhere.
It's called...
own it.
Flashpoint.
By owning it, I mean I shoplifted it from the adult video store that's on below the Deja Vu on First Avenue.
Well, welcome back, everybody. We're just having a short conversation about Jenna Jameson here. I hope you enjoyed that White Snake song, because I know Thunder did. And while we were on break, too, we were just talking about, you know, the best song to play right there would have been Death to Auto-Tune by Jay-Z. So maybe we'll play that a little bit later.
Sure. Sounds great.
But so we're back with JD and Thunder of Stack of Dimes podcast. Excuse me. So you guys have been doing this for a little while, right? Like, how long has your podcast been up and running?
I think we actually started in 2009. In like April, it's actually been like 2 years.
It's
like
coming
up on
2.
Yeah. Really? Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you guys, and pretty much what, twice a week or once a week?
Yeah, we try to do it twice a week. Uh-huh. Sometimes we have issues doing that, but but yeah, twice a week.
Yeah. Like, for 2 years, like, have you guys ever missed a week?
Oh yeah, I mean, there's been. I think for the first year we were more like once a week.
Yeah, we went once a week for like a year and then decided to bump it up to two.
More sporadic and
It's still, they're still pretty kind of sporadic.
Yeah,
when we release them. It's
We try to release something on Sunday or Monday and then something on Thursday or Friday.
Nice,
right?
But
nice. And what kind of like what made you guys decide to do something like this?
I think I was actually, I know we had talked about it for a while, but what really inspired me was Resident Evil 3, the one that's in Las Vegas in the desert.
That was
my inspiration. Personally, I can get into that.
I was just talking about that movie last night.
Really?
with Nick Ahlers from Planned Brotherhood.
Uh-huh.
I had the unique honor of hanging out with him last night, and yeah, we were talking about the Resident Evil movies.
Oh, they're
and
terrible.
I've never sat through
some
any
of the worst movies ever made.
And I sat through part three, and then it got to the end. It said directed by Russell Mulcahy.
Oh,
and I went, holy
snap.
Shit, because Russell Mulcahy directed the original Highlander film.
Really?
And then Highlander 2.
I just watched that on Hulu.
Yeah.
I love the original Highlander.
Fucking great.
Yeah, it's great. And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe this guy directed Resident Evil 3. Why is no one talking about this? And then that was like, we should do a podcast where we talk about this shit.
Wow, he really went south.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a big hit for him, I think, actually. I mean, that movie.
Resident Evil?
Resident Evil 3. He didn't do 1 or 2. That was Paul W. Anderson.
That guy's kind of notorious, right?
Yeah.
He makes all of these bad kind of based on video game movies.
Not all of them, but all of them are pretty bad.
You know, I know he's got a great movie based on a video game. Well, it's not great at all by any means. Actually, I'd venture to say it's probably one of the worst out there. But it's on Hulu right now. You guys can watch it. It's based on... It's called House of the Dead.
Yes.
Oh, that's by Uwe Boll.
That's the guy.
Yeah, that's the guy you're thinking
of. That's
he makes.
That was fucking terrible.
Yeah,
he makes
that's
nothing but
holy
like,
shit.
That's who I'm thinking of. Yeah,
and there's even like in that movie too, like which just I mean escapes me why they did this, but it's a rave here in Washington out on one of the San Juan Islands.
What?
The House of the Dead movie?
I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
I've never seen the movie.
I thought you said you just
no.
You just said that you
I've
seen
read
it.
About the guy
oh, okay.
who directed.
Yeah.
He's notorious.
He's notorious. He's like that. There's like Afraid of the Dark, I think, is one of the movies.
I think so.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
Postal was another one that was based on a video game.
He made a movie based on the video game Postal?
Yes.
Yeah, he gets these rights to these games and he makes
right.
these like,
and
like,
I think
terrible
he gets,
movies.
Like, I think he gets like European funding
yeah.
somehow.
Yeah.
So he just and
well, that's
just
see,
keep giving him money.
There's an indication of where America's at
yeah.
In the global Jeez. Scale of things. America love this.
So
we'll do this. We'll do this.
So it takes place in Washington.
Yeah, it takes place in Washington. There's some rave that's going on in a very desolate island in the San Juans, and so this group of young what I would say college age people.
Mm-hmm.
Very pretty looking and not great actors, get on a boat and they go to one of these San Juan Islands and the rave is totally wiped out, right?
Uh-huh.
And so, it turns into this whole like zombie thing, you know, with really bad special effects. But the worst part about the movie, if the acting doesn't do you in, it's the interspersed cuts of... screenshots from the actual video game.
What? Come on.
I'm not lying, my friend. Fucking cuts from the video game that you find in any movie theater, House of the Dead, where
right.
you take the gun and you shoot, you know, zombies
right.
and vampires
right.
and flying bats. it's, that come at you.
And talk about a game that has no plot.
No plot whatsoever,
It's a throwaway shoot-em game by Sega.
Yeah.
That just, instead of, you know, like shooting ducks,
that's,
shooting
that's one thing that's funny is that the rave is sponsored by Sega. There's a big Sega sign at the
that's amazing.
You know, on the back of the
I miss
stage.
Area 51. I was at a bar the other night, and they had a game that was like a rip-off of Area 51, but I miss those games with like the film footage in them.
Yes, like where you hit digitized.
Like the Mortal Kombat games in Area 51, where you hit the guy, and then they go through like a routine of like where they... like acted out.
You
dying.
Actually like those?
Well, I just like it as a kind of like you miss it. Like I miss it. When
kind
I
of
see
a
it.
Kitsch value of like if you're in a crappy bar or a crappy theater, you knew Area 51 was going to be there somewhere.
Yep, absolutely.
It was comforting. It was like your security blanket at any theater that you could go to.
I can't.
Worst case, I'll end up playing Area 51, right. Which is not that bad.
At least this ticket was worth something.
Didn't Aerosmith have like a tie-in with either Area 51 or they had an Area 51 style game?
I think so.
Aerosmith digitized into it, and it was like
well, it was like I think you were like battling like rabid roadies or something like that.
Are you serious?
I think so.
Man. Wonderful.
We could probably look it up, but I don't want to.
They just skinned the same game or something.
The problem I had with that is every time Steven Tyler showed up, I tried to shoot him because I thought it was some sort of a creature.
And then you automatically lose the game.
And I was like, damn it, that's Steven Tyler again. It's not a creature.
So
What's wrong with his face? My God.
Yeah, he's so gaunt. So you guys said that you'd been doing this for about 2 years, and what your podcast has turned into is like... Basically, you guys are talking about movies like that we were just talking about.
Yes.
Like bad movies.
Right.
And Americana food.
Yes.
Right? And going to Cinnabar.
Yeah, I think for me, I work in radio. I've worked in radio for like 11 years now.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had a radio show for a bit that was on a terrible station, and it was a terrible show.
And what was that? What was the radio show?
It was called Mouthing Off.
Aha.
And it was on AM 570 KVI, which was a Fox News affiliate.
Right, and they're pretty conservative, right?
Yeah, and our show was... It originally started three of us all from our mid-20s to early 30s.
Usually not very fitting with the...
The
Fox conservative
News audience,
crowd.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. And it was on Sundays, and, you know, we kept a little bit of the politics in there, but I have no interest in talking politics.
What's going on with your cats right now?
Yeah, what are they doing?
They're MMA-ing.
Yeah, that's a...
That's actually a side mount.
totally
I'm not even kidding. It's a side mount, and...
Yeah, Titus is about... last time we weighed him, he weighed in at a whopping 17 and a half pounds.
What he needs to do is buck his hips forward, and he would get a sweep on him.
He likes to tackle Osimo. That's his thing.
So I was doing the show, and it was like I couldn't talk about really what I wanted to talk about. The guys that I did the show with, I just knew through work, and so I kept kind of badgering JD over here, who I've known him since the fourth grade. Like, let's just do a podcast. This thing's kind of catching on, and I've got all this equipment at work, you know, and we could put something together. And he was like, what are we going to talk about? I'm like, whatever we talk about when we sit at a bar. Because what I find is like, I'm interested in hearing, I don't know, you know, I'm interested in talking to
You're
people.
You're interested in hearing about what Russell McKay's up to?
Absolutely. Right. And we would sit and talk about this in our living rooms or at a bar.
And
I'm thinking, and if you go online, and this is the one thing that the internet has kind of proven, whatever you're into, there's about a million other people into it as well. And
the
internet has opened that up. And so I said, let's just talk about what we normally talk about, and either people will listen or they won't. And that's kind of how it started.
Yeah. Well, I'm a big fan. I became a big fan of your guys' show after I think it was an episode. You guys did an interview with Albert Payoun.
Yeah.
And Albert Payoun was the director of one of my favorite movies from my teenage years. What was it called again? Nemesis?
Yeah.
Oh, Nemesis.
Nemesis is great film.
And I mean, it's so bad that it's good.
Yeah,
it's one of those movies, yeah. You know.
Although it is, and it almost
it has just sprinklings of wow, there is potential in this.
Yeah,
and, yeah.
And
yeah.
There is shit in that movie. I was just watching something the other day. I think it was that Angela Jolene Salt movie, or maybe it was the Night and Day movie or something, where they did the gag. In Nemesis, he does the gag where he's like in a room and he shoots around his feet and he falls through the floor. Came up in like the... Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to tap at the table again.
No, that's cool.
That just came up in that movie Salt or that movie Night and Day. They did that same gag and I was
They've done that in so many different movies, that was the first time I ever saw it.
Yeah. I think it really was, too.
The thing... You know, we would watch all of these straight-to-video movies when we were like 13, 14, 15, just like rip-offs of Bloodsport or, you know, whatever genre was that was popular at the time. And this movie, compared to most of the movies that went straight-to-video, look-wise...
I think at the time, this was a really high budget.
For those-type movies,
Because, I mean, they weren't too far off from something like Terminator. Like,
yeah.
Literally. I mean,
but they were far off enough to make it amazing.
I'm talking about, like, special effects-wise. Like, they weren't too far off from where, like, Terminator...
The original Terminator. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. I mean, Terminator kind of came out at the same time period. Didn't it?
Probably a little earlier.
Yeah. Terminator's 84, and I think Nemesis was like 91.
Yeah, but I mean...
Terminator's 84?
Yeah, the original
is. It's old. Holy shit. Okay.
But, you know, and a lot of those movies, like Nemesis, would use kind of probably the same techniques that they were using in 84, you know, that people kind of have abandoned in the bigger budget movies. But
yeah, then this guy went on to make, like, movies like Captain America...
Man,
where apparently Captain America's suit is made out of like latex glove material.
It is
still with the powder on it.
Yeah,
you guys noticed that.
Yeah, and the ears were.
It's available on Hulu still.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Yeah,
and the ears are. I don't know if they have many shots in the movie. They actually, the way the mask is, I guess in the original comic, is his ears are exposed through holes on the side.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in some versions of it.
Yeah.
But I guess the mask wouldn't work if they created it out of whatever material. So they They just made rubber ears. Actual flesh-colored rubber ears built into the mask. It's awful. Weird.
And you know what? It still looks better than the one that's going to come out this summer.
Oh, my God.
That looks terrible.
It does not look good, sir.
Yeah, I don't know about that one. I'll probably still see it.
I just think there's a couple of comic book characters that, no matter what, I just don't think are going to transfer to film. And I think that's Thor and Captain America is a hard sell for me.
I don't know. Thor looked pretty cool.
Wow. Really?
I think I'll probably see it.
I don't know.
I mean, it didn't look terrible.
I'll probably see both of these because... It'll be on HBO or something.
You know, I'll probably see it too, but I'll also probably see Faster with The Rock. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I see a lot of
that shit. Amazes me that because if I have to choose one, I'm going with Captain America over Thor.
Really?
Thor,
yeah. Well, here's the deal with Captain America
is like it takes place like the movie doesn't the movie. I've only seen screenshots, but it's all screenshots of like
it's in the
you know
40s.
Captain America starting out, and it's like World War II.
And it's Joe Johnston, the guy that did like. Gremlins, right? And
I didn't know the Howling. Oh man,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, nice. I mean, he's like he did the Rocketeer. Like,
oh my god,
I totally forgot about that one.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of people on like Ain't It New or Ain't It Cool News talking about. I hope it's very Rocketeerish. I've heard that a lot because that's you know it's like a throwback.
I think I need to go and check that movie out again. Then
I wasn't a big fan when I was a kid.
I don't think I was either, but I'd like to see it again just to.
It's got quite a cult following.
I mean, they do that whole fight scene on top of the Zeppelin.
Right.
I remember that part.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So let's get into a little bit, like, you guys...
Wait, so... Sorry. Oh, I know, your show. I don't want to hijack it. So, Paiyun, so how did you come across that? Like, that's funny that was the way you found out about our show.
Well, I think I listened to TBTL a lot in the past, and then you guys... come on, you guys are friends with Luke Burbank, right? You come on his show sometimes and do like the best worst movie you can watch.
Yeah,
right. And I think it was Nemesis. You guys did Nemesis once.
I think we did.
And that kind of turned me on to it, and I was like, oh my God. And then I sent you guys a comment on your webpage. I was the guy that stated that he had seen on like a You guys remember the channel KSTW?
No, I remember
right?
this. Comment. Oh yeah, I remember. Oh, yeah. I remember you, that
and they
you
used to
that.
Have on like Sundays and at certain times during weekdays, like maybe it was like Thursdays or something like that. At certain times, they would just play back to back like the worst fucking 80s movies.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
can think of. Right.
It's like
usually Predator was mixed in there somewhere.
Right.
But and I was sick one time when I was little, and I remember just watching movies all day. I think it was a Sunday,
uh-huh.
and I saw Nemesis, and it was, I think, the movie Munchies. Did you guys
oh,
see
sure,
that one?
Sure.
Yeah, which I had seen prior on HBO because we were getting it for free for about 4 years, and Munchies played every day for, like, I don't know, a couple months straight.
That is so great. Like, yeah. I love that HBO did that to so many kids, especially in like the 80s or 90s, where it was like you either you got it for free or yeah. you had a free preview, and it was whatever they were playing was amazing. It was cool. Yeah. It didn't matter. It was on
it
HBO.
It didn't matter. It didn't matter what it was. Yeah, it was on HBO.
HBO.
That's
was
what
awesome.
Made it special.
Yeah.
And what made it even more special is that my parents were actually getting it for free because the cable guy messed up the wires or whatever, and then they figured it out like 8 months later and took it off. But.
Amazing.
But yeah, I was sitting there. I have the fondest memories of that channel.
KSTW. It was a great channel.
Because it was, I mean, literally you could turn it on any given Sunday.
And watch four episodes of RoboCop.
Oh,
the television series.
The
back
television
back.
Series. Oh my God. Did you guys hear that they're building a statue in Detroit?
I heard,
RoboCop?
Yeah. They got, I guess they had to, I don't know, raise the funds for it, and they put
it
to the people, and they raised enough money for it. Like
that is,
like
that
I love
is
that
the one thing that's going to bring that city back.
That movie is a testament to what a shithole that Detroit is. That's what the whole movie's
like,
about.
You know what? We've become the dystopian future that movie
like our
portrayed.
City's so bad we have
we
to build a robot to
celebrate it
to keep law and order. And
well, let's
like,
hope they don't build the other robot in
Ed 209.
Yeah,
right.
And it'll just like destroy the rest of the city along with the world.
I believe you have the extended version on
Laserdisc.
Yes,
Criterion.
Yes. You know what they should have done is built the statue of the that 70s show Dad. Because he was the villain
I've said this before on the show, that scene where he kills the guy.
Peter Weller.
Or kill him.
Throws the grenade into the room or something like that.
No, the one where he shoots his arm off with the shotgun.
Oh.
And
we'll give him a hand or whatever he says. It's a joke. And it's the guy from the 70s. That scarred me as a kid. Literally scarred me.
It's a disturbing scene.
It did. Yeah, it was very disturbing. Yeah,
I wasn't ready for that.
Totally. Yeah.
Well, that's pretty amazing. So I guess the Luke Burbank thing worked going on. But it wasn't.
Of course it did.
I mean, the thing is, we've known Luke for a while, and it's just like one of those things where it's an excuse to go on and just to bullshit with the
guy. Well, that's the one great thing about podcasting, and that I've found that's been just a lot of fun is being able to have new people over here that that's loud that. You know, you can just bullshit with. I was talking about this with Nick Allers last night about, you know, what we get from this. And it's basically just like, you know, meeting new people and being able to shoot the shit with somebody that normally you wouldn't have been able to meet and shoot the shit with, right?
Yeah, and I think...
Because I don't think our paths probably would not have crossed if it wasn't for the whole podcast thing.
Yeah, I would agree.
There's like 12 Laserdiscs that Thunder wouldn't own if it wasn't for our podcast.
Oh, absolutely.
Listener gave to us.
Passenger 57 being one of them.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Do you own Con Air? That's the real question.
I don't.
Oh, boy. Then your collection
this
is
morning.
Not complete,
that's really
sir.
Funny that you brought up Con Air. I had a thought this morning as I was like, my wife and I are like getting ready in the bathroom, brushing your teeth, and she has a Con Air hair curler. I was
what?
Like, why wasn't there a fucking crossover? Because that's a brand.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the Con Air brand.
Con Air
okay,
brand.
I was
yeah.
like, why
was
like, wait a minute, they made fucking...
I'm like, in my dreams...
It's to promote the movie.
Yes.
Yeah, because
and
of his
I
mullet.
Was like, that's what I was right, thinking. Right. Maybe that's why Nick Cage had long hair, and there's like a deleted scene where he fucking like kills a guy with a fucking... Like, with a hair curler, right?
Just plunges it through his eye socket.
But it wasn't...
I think there's like going to be a whole series of tweets of like, fantasized imaginary deleted scenes from films like
oh man
a it, scene yeah. from Con Air where he uses a Con Air
right it was a play on that brand name though was it not I mean because it was obviously cons in air or whatever on an airplane or whatever,
I thought it was just supposed to be like air like you know like they have I don't, there's airlines name that, right? Like right, Island
but,
Air. Or,
but I mean, I remember when they named it Con Air going, oh, that makes sense. Yeah. Because it would just seem like such a, like, that works as a name because I know it as a brand name already.
Right.
And plus it, it were, I don't know. It just
there
seems
had
like,
to be a crossover there.
I swear.
Point.
I swear you're right.
The mullet. The mullet really ties it all together.
Yeah. Oh, that, yeah. The mullet yeah. always ties everything together. What are you talking about?
That's that, a, I'm sure that was available on Laserdisc, right? It was old.
Oh,
it's an
gotta,
old
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, it's
got
to be. It's
they
be.
Had The yeah. Rock out on Criterion oh box God. Set. Yeah.
They make Criterion box sets for
of
Laserdisc.
The
Rock.
Oh, they, were, yeah, that, they did. Oh, that's yeah, all the Jesus. Only way they
that,
had them.
Yeah, that was the that was where Criterion made their start was
their
with
debut.
Laser, yeah, it was with Laserdiscs.
Oh my God. Yeah. What about? I think the last time I saw you, Thunder, we got into a discussion about what were they called? Movie discs?
Yeah, CEDs. Like they're called video discs. Is
video
what
discs?
Called.
Yeah, and they looked like. Gigantic
mini
3x5
right.
floppies.
Yeah, they yeah. were like, yeah, they, yeah.
They were like, yeah. The, you know, you can't see this at home, but they're like 5 feet wide.
they were like 12 by 12. They were,
yeah, yeah.
It's like
huge,
if you took a record.
It's like a porcelain tile that you'd stick into this big
right.
machine.
But it was like a record yeah. inside of a
it was.
Square plastic
yeah, it was.
Case.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. It was an actual vinyl. It was an actual movie on vinyl disc.
That is so strange.
And
to me.
you had to physically flip it to because
right,
it could only
right.
hold like I think like an hour on each side or something like that.
Was yeah. it that much? I think it was like 30 minutes.
It was about an hour. I think yeah. it may
well,
have been.
You
like
have
shutting.
Empire Strikes Back. On
oh,
I do.
Video.
Discs.
Yeah. That's okay. What, yeah, that's yeah. what we were talking about. And a friend of mine from Ellensburg actually had like has the player, and it's has like the three original Star Wars movies on video disc.
Back to The Howling. Didn't you watch The Howling on video disc and you were able to freeze frame it and see the bush?
It's I was very very young. So it was either
God.
A Laserdisc player or one of those.
Right.
Cuz
what the fuck did your parents do? Because everybody that I knew that had Laserdisc players were like well, it was actually only one family, and they owned the Kingston Thriftway. So, like, what, did your parents own
rich,
a Thriftway?
Then. No.
They had a pool, my friend.
No.
Yeah.
I was growing up in a small town, Winlock, and my older brother, his friend, was the son of the superintendent of schools in the area. And so,
really?
You know, they were pretty well off, and they had, yeah. it was either a Laserdisc player or Selectivision is what that was called,
oh, okay.
video disc or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it was that, but I don't... The thing is I
it
remember...
It was The Howling, though.
It was The
sure.
Howling
right.
because there's a scene where this woman disrobes by the fire in The Howling. And
right,
it's total
right. Yeah, full, I totally remember that scene.
Full frontal nudity shot. Yeah. And so my older brother and this guy were like, oh, I can pause this. And we were blown away that he could pause it exactly to the point where you could... Like
see
actually,
because
like videotape when you pause back then was like,
oh yeah,
it was all
yeah.
shaky.
You get the yeah, yeah the lines across
didn't have
the screen.
A forehead
yeah.
VCR.
No, oh no, God no.
Well,
God,
if you
no.
did, you're pulling out a head cleaner. So,
but yeah, so I mean, but no, I mean, and I didn't have a Laserdisc player until, and most people didn't even know they still existed by the time we both got in
high school. Didn't
yeah,
we?
Yeah.
Right.
I saved
ridiculous.
I saved up money from the job I was working.
You're serious?
To buy a Laserdisc player. Oh yeah.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Wow. I'm drop jawed.
Yeah.
It's amazing that I'm still able to talk with my jaw so dropped.
you are
right
blown
now.
Away.
I am blown away, just like that movie.
Just like Nicole Eggert.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Bring yeah. it back. Well, hey, guys, let's go to a second musical break here. We're going to go with DOA, Death of Auto-Tune by Jay-Z. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about an episode you guys did on Safeway deli food. Because this is a subject near and dear to my heart, and I really want to talk about this, and we need to get to the bottom of a very serious epidemic that's sweeping the nation.
And you know,
it has to do with Safeway deli food.
This so. Right here is a reason why podcasting is so great, because
what?
The mainstream media,
the can of Zions that you're holding up right now,
that is it.
Zions, sponsor of the Air Raid podcast.
Yeah. I don't think they're sponsoring anybody. I got this for 60 cents at Big Lots.
You don't think they're sponsoring anybody? That's why they have the big Zions thing in the middle of the UFC fighting ring?
But I think they're coming to a close because literally I did get this for 60 cents at Big Lots. That's why I have this. No, but the mainstream...
At least you didn't get it at the grocery outlet.
I'm thinking they're probably there as well. But the mainstream media has been ignoring this exact topic, so I'm glad
we're
going
to get to
up.
The bottom of it and very in-depth... what would you call it? In-depth...
An expose.
An expose on Safeway Deli Food. In-depth reporting from airraid.net with the Stack of Dimes. Be back in just a moment. I'm so Brooklyn. I know we facing a recession, but the music y'all making gon' make it the Great Depression. Or your lack of aggression. Put your skirt back down, throw a set, man. Nigga, this shit violent. This is death or auto-tune, moment of silence. To rewrite history without a pen, no ID on the track, let the story begin, 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 hold up, this ain't a number one record, this is practically assault with a deadly weapon, I made this just for flex and, Mr. C, I want niggas to feel threatened, stop your blood clot crying, the kid, the dog, everybody dying, no lying. You niggas' jeans too tight, your colors too bright, your voice too light.
It's too far, nigga.
I might wear black 4 years straight. I might bring back Versace shades. This ain't for Z100. Ye told me to kill y'all to keep it 100. This is for Hot 97. This shit for Clue, for Khaled, who we the best in. Nigga, this shit violent. This is death or auto-tune, moment of silence. All right, we are back with the Stack of Dimes, JD and Thunder. How's it going? We just had a nice little conversation about Albert Pyun.
Yeah, that crazy son of a bitch.
And how, and how he is the new... JD, you said he was the... He's pretty much the Ed Wood of our time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, another side story. So, I correspond with the guy who wrote the Rotten comic book, co-wrote the Rotten comic book. Who's a
Who lives here in Seattle, right?
Yeah,
he writes for Seattle Times or something like that?
I know the other guy who writes for the Everett Herald.
It's Mark Rahner and Robert Horton who do
so,
the...
Yeah. Robert Horton's got a great website. And the blank, I think it's just 80smovies.wordpress.com, but it's basically he's taking all his old reviews from the 80s because he's been a critic for like different newspapers and whatever since like 79. So he's taking all these reviews and like unarchiving them, putting them online, like not changing a word. And he put one up there about like Pyun's very first film.
Yeah, I forget
what
that was called.
I can't remember the name of it right now. It escapes me, but. Pyun's involved in this lawsuit with the country of Guam.
Mm-hmm.
Because the
Fucking kidding me.
No.
Yeah. So the country of Guam.
What? Who gets sued by a country?
What they allege that they gave him a bunch of money to make a film to promote their country.
I've seen the film.
Was it called Max Power?
It's called Max.
Gosh, Max what? Thunder? Max.
It's like
Max Thunder in Paradise or something like that.
It's kind of supposed to be like a
Max Havoc.
Yes, that's what it is. It's Max Havoc, and it was going to be a series of these movies with this like kind of action character named Max Havoc
from Guam or something like that.
Well, they shot it in Guam, and the movie is basically like a come to Guam sort of. It's like a showcase. It's a showcase for Guam basically
right.
make it like a tourist destination, and the. Allegedly, they gave him a bunch of money to come and shoot the movie.
And they're still alleging that he stole the money and didn't deliver on what they had agreed to.
To get
and
the
this
money.
Is all, yeah. This is in court
oh
now,
my
so
God.
it's all...
If you see this movie,
dude,
they have, you know how oftentimes they'll get some washed up celebrity and they'll put them in these movies just
right,
so they
right,
can
yeah.
sell it to
yeah.
foreign countries.
Get a Roger Moore in there or something.
It's actually, it's Carmen Electra. is
of course
she's on the cover in a bikini and her role in the movie, she literally like rents the surfboards on the beach of Guam, and the guy comes over and gets like a surfboard, and she alludes to Max being really hot, and he's like, "You're not so bad yourself," and that's the extent of her scene in it.
Right, right.
Like, that's it.
But she's on the cover.
Oh yeah, of course, of course she is. I'm amazed that she found time in her busy schedule from doing these cruise ship ads that she's been doing to star in this. This Guam movie.
She's actually
Albert Payun.
She's
movie.
Actually in a lawsuit with Carnival Cruises. She didn't deliver on what she was supposed to promise.
So the point of this is he puts this review up about this movie that Payun did years ago, and he starts getting comments on his WordPress site of these guys like, "Albert, are you going to come to Guam and defend yourself for what you did to the Guam people of Guam and stealing this money and blah, blah, blah?" Like they think they're posting this thing on there to Albert.
Right.
It's just some critic's website. And Horton took it down because he's like, some of the stuff they're putting up there could have been like kind of libelous. They're saying. Totally. So he took it down. He goes, but that would have been kind of fun. This person thought he was talking to Albert Payun.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Why they would think that is insane.
I'm surprised we didn't get any of that.
Yeah.
Because if you look him up, our stuff comes up, I think. Like it's,
oh, really?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, like I think because if you listen to your show, you're just like, oh, he is crazy.
Yeah.
he's nuts. He just like, I mean, even when you guys were talking to him about the Captain America movie, like he was like full, he's fucking certifiable, man. Because he thinks that movie is great.
You'd think that he'd have some great stories about this stuff too.
Right.
You'd think
right,
like
right.
to get this thing made, he like shot it in Croatia at the time when like the war was going on and stuff,
right?
Or right after the war, and you'd think that he'd have these amazing stories, and he really didn't. It was just I went and did this movie.
If you watch Roger Corman be interviewed, he's got like it's hilarious. He's got these amazing stories about we threw this. I mean, he's fully aware of what he's doing.
Right, right.
Albert
right.
Payun is completely.
Well, it's like
not.
The guy. It's like the dentist in Troll 2 who played the dad. Right. Like
sure.
When they interview him on Best Worst Movie Ever Made, you know, he's just like, it was great. You know, we knew it was just terrible. And then they interview the guy, the director of the movie, and he's just like, "I don't see why people are making fun of this movie. It's fucking amazing."
Like, it's like if you interviewed the lady who runs a deli counter at Safeway.
What a transition!
Yeah. Oh, look at that! Look at that!
But I will say, I'm sorry to dwell, but it is kind of difficult because, like I said, I don't know if we were talking about this on the air or maybe it was off the air that we've done a couple of interviews, and for me, it's kind of difficult. Like, you know, I have fond memories of watching his movies when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah,
but
totally.
They really suck. I mean,
they're terrible. They're terrible.
I actually kind of like...
I want to see that. After
Dull Man's
you guys
amazing.
Talking about that, I was like, oh,
but
fuck. I remember seeing like some weird preview for that movie.
But I actually...
Probably on KSTW.
Yeah, probably. It probably was. Probably. Yeah, yeah. I saw it on like Showtime on like a family vacation, right? You get like, what am I watching?
Yeah. But like, I actually liked Cyborg, and I actually... And again, I have the Captain America movie on Laserdisc. And
you don't
and
need it. You can just throw that away. It's on Hulu.
And I said to him, and I think at some point in the interview, I actually said, like, the movie's, like, I didn't say it was bad in the movie, but it's watchable.
Yeah.
It's put together as a linear story. It actually flows like, because a lot of these movies.
Actually, the opening's not bad, right? With like
you
Red
could
Skull
see they,
and stuff.
They blew all of their money on the opening scene like all the
totally.
Makeup for Red Skull and all this stuff. But, you know, there's an actual story there. So to me, I'm fascinated that this guy actually made some coherent movies, whereas a lot of that stuff that came out was like unwatchable. The story didn't make sense. There's all these plot holes or whatever. And so I thought if we interviewed him that he there's got to be something upstairs with this guy. And
just not there.
It wasn't
not
there.
There at all. Okay. Well, let's get to this because we're coming up on an hour already. And I think, you know, what we're going to have you guys on again because this has been awesome.
Well, maybe you should come over to our show.
Totally. I'd love to. I would absolutely love it. But let's talk about this Safeway thing.
Absolutely.
Let's get to Safeway.
I wish you had like some hard hitting music. You know, like some sort of a news story, like a 2020 theme or something.
How about
and Stone Phillips was introing
us. right. Yeah.
The seedy world of heat lamp food at Safeway.
yeah.
Let's delve into it.
Yes.
I'm gonna make the diving
motion again.
Motion with my hands. Yeah. So. Okay, in an episode a while ago, do you guys remember what episode
it was? No idea. What
number?
One through whatever the one we just finished.
One
through 112.
The rest of them.
We get emails going, what episode was like? I have no idea.
You talk about pepperoni pizza?
That's literally.
All of them?
I spent an hour yesterday trying to figure out one of the listeners.
Yeah, all of them.
I don't know. So, yeah. One of our episodes.
It's like pretty much every episode we're talking about Tostinos. So it's,
You have some here?
I wish. I'm kind of on a low-carb diet, so I've had to like, scale back on the whole bread thing.
You could actually do the Totinos and just squeeze the innards into your mouth and leave the shell.
Like it was some sort of Go-Gurt?
Yeah. But
let them cool. That'll destroy your mouth.
Oh, buddy. Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
So what is your beef with Safeway?
Okay, so my beef is, and what we were talking about earlier, I work for a local municipality, and I do a lot of driving. So I don't really have, it's not the easiest for me to like take my lunch because I wake up 2 minutes before I have to be at work and I go to bed, very lazy. I'm a lazy person.
I'm with you, pal.
Thank you.
I'm the same way. Like I'm not going to wake up, 5 minutes early to actually pack a lunch.
And you know, there's too much stuff to watch on TV at night. To take up that time.
Sure. So absolutely.
Anyway, so that results in me going to many places for lunch, and Safeway is probably one of the cheapest. You go to a supermarket, you grab some stuff for lunch. You're out.
Sure. And there's plenty of them around.
There's a
Safeway. Except for you're not out at Safeway, because anytime you go to the deli counter there, it literally takes like 20 minutes for someone to...
That's true. You could be the only one.
I'm not signed
there.
Into this register.
That's a classic.
Mary signed into this register. Mary! Mary! Like, oh my God. Just fucking sell me my 3 slices of turkey. That has no flavor.
Oh yeah, but your mistake is that you're actually getting something that they have to build physically. Like, I'd go straight to the heat lamp. It's like, just scoop that mung out.
They
onto
still
that.
Aren't signed into the register.
Oh, you know, like, man. Whatever's yeah. like the salad.
You got any mung fish back there?
It's anyways, go. Because we'll get into it.
Right. So every, and I find myself constantly back at Safeway at that deli counter. It's like, the chicken strips are consistently too dry, and
awful.
I'm a huge fan of chicken. That's what I was raised on. My dad was always cooking chicken for dinner, so I always kind of crave it.
Chicken strips, fried chicken, whatever.
Fried chicken, yeah. But I usually try to go a little bit healthier and do the the baked chicken,
like a rotisserie
chicken.
Sure.
And they're I will say that they're whole rotisserie chickens are pretty goddamn good.
Sure.
Right,
those
sure.
are mouth.
Whacking one down for lunch might be a little excessive, but
no. Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. You'd have to cut it in half.
On your lap in your truck go to work on a whole chicken carcass.
I've been known to do that. But okay, so this chicken that they have in there, though, the baked stuff that comes in the big pan, it's just like legs and thighs and breasts and all the stuff to make somebody horny, but it's amazing to me how consistently throughout every Safeway store they can fuck up chicken. Seriously, it's like every fucking Safeway I go to, the chicken is dry, and overcooked and doesn't taste like anything.
Yeah,
there's no seasoning on it whatsoever.
Even the thing that you go, man, that has a ton of seasoning on it, and you get it, and it tastes like nothing.
Yeah.
They put it through some sort of deflavorizer or something.
I can get with you, like, on the chicken strips there. I've gone into the store, like, okay, I'm hungry. I'm there to pick up something, and then I walk by the heat lamp, and I'm like, God damn, those chicken strips look pretty amazing right now. Like, that would be really good. And they're always awful.
Except for the one that those look pretty good. And then she'll root around in the bin.
And she'll find the worst one.
Yes. Yeah. That's
what the fuck you?
It's like we need to get rid of these ones first.
The ball's on you. I'm standing right here, yeah, lady.
I'm watching you do it.
You're right, and it's always like there might be a couple on top. You're like, those look pretty delicious, and you're right.
Yeah.
And the first thing they do is they take that tong and they move those out of the way. Dig out of the bottom.
Exactly. Does it just drive you crazy? Because it sounds like you guys are in the same boat I am in. You guys eat at places like this.
Well,
from time to time.
For me, it's just cataloged memories throughout my life. But I don't. Because I'm downtown now, so...
when I was doing Safeway more, or when it was in my wheelhouse of places to go, I stopped going there for this reason, because I was like, I'm done. I've been fooled too many times.
And you're saying the deli sandwich...
Oh, God.
Because they actually made a big push with their kind of deli sandwiches that they had going there for a bit.
I think they've improved.
The only one that's mildly okay is the one they do olive tapenade on it, and that's the only thing that gives it flavor... But it is literally, oil is just pouring out of the thing.
And it always and that oil makes creates this contact of slippery.
Yeah.
Everything will just fall out of your.
I hate that.
You'll squeeze down on the sandwich and all of a sudden all you have is two slices of bread.
that's soaked with the oil.
Their bakery is bad. Like their donuts are flavorless. Their cookies, it's like, you look at the bottom of the cookies, it's like. Was this even baked?
Yes.
There's no brown color to this at all. It's still white as the dough. I mean, like,
it's almost
how do they make this?
It's almost like they dehydrated it.
Yes.
It didn't, because, there's got to be usually some.
You know what it is?
Some sort of burn
color,
mark or something.
You know what it fucking
it?
Is?
What's that?
It's the future.
It's the Back to the Future 2 where they put it in that machine in the kitchen. And
the
just
rehydrator?
Like,
no, it's like, like that or like Fifth Element. Where you just take the little pill and you put it in the microwave,
and it
comes out a whole turkey covered in onions.
That could be it. The thing for me,
it's the fucking future.
That was a big deal with Safeway back in the day when I was like in high school. Was when they got China Express. That was a big deal. And
I think. Well, hold on. Oh no, that's Panda Express.
Right.
In QFC.
Right. Yeah. And it was it. You know it. It's like that. It's the
I
same.
Never messed with any of those Chinese food at any grocery store.
No, it's terrible.
No, when they originally got it, and I'm talking to Lake Stevens.
Oh, here we go.
It was delicious. It absolutely was. I'm sorry. But over the years, it's become so lax now. Like before you'd go in there and the stuff was hot. Like they were constantly making it and then all of a sudden, the chicken got kind of weird. It was like, before it was like chicken breast in the stir fry.
They put their spoon in it, and it just comes out one big gelatinous cube.
Exactly.
Like, oh, I want the sweet and sour chicken.
Yeah,
and it's perfectly cut, too, in cubes.
right. But before, it was like, you'd get the chicken chow mein, and there'd be like chicken breast in it. Now, there's scraggly, like squiggly,
chicken knuckles.
I haven't eaten the stuff in... probably 15 years. But I walk by there and I'm just amazed that they can actually put that on display like it's enticing.
See, here's the problem is that you guys are a couple years older than me, so maybe I just haven't learned enough yet, but I still keep going back.
I don't know why.
I don't know why.
Because it's easy, and I think you're right. When you walk by, there is something usually in the heat lamp. Because here's the deal: I will go in there and eat the shit out of a chicken crispito.
Oh, those are fucking amazing!
Yeah,
those are amazing.
If they've, like I said, if they've just put a couple out,
you like them from Queefs.
Oh, Queefs are amazing.
Yeah.
QFC.
QFC. Okay.
Their chicken crispitos are really.
I'm not
good.
Hip on the lingo.
Just sound it out. Next time you see their sign, just sound it out. I'll eat the shit out of that. But that's a processed food.
They're not doing much with it.
They're
putting it in the fryer.
Yeah, they get it frozen. You know what will tear you up there? If you want acid reflux, get the tomato soup. Like they have
the signature artisan soups.
My God. It is like the most acidic thing you've ever had in your life.
It will make me break out in canker sores.
Yes. It is intense, man.
Yeah,
it's like you might as well make fucking grapefruit soup or something.
Grapefruit soup or pineapple soup.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It is so fucking acidic. And then you're just burping it. It's like, this is what acid reflux is. I get it.
Yeah. This is where heartburn comes from.
Yeah.
That's why they give you like a miniature take home bottle of Pepsi AC or when you get the soup, yeah. The artisan soup. It comes
get a little thing of Tabasco and a little thing of Pepsi.
Yeah. It really does amaze me. I'll look at the Chinese food and I'll go, I know if you were to take that spoon and dig in there to get whatever out, the stuff underneath is a completely different shade of brown as the stuff on top. It's absolutely
disgusting.
The one
thing, my go-to, if I do, and I will say this, I have been going to Safeway less because I crave the chicken, the rotisserie, the baked chicken. And like QFC has great chicken.
Doesn't Costco have really good rotisserie chicken too, or am I crazy?
They're all the same.
I have no idea.
Weird about some of those chickens, though. You have to eat that thing quickly because if you let it sit out any amount of time, it gets very dry very quickly.
Yes.
Have you noticed? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I cut up some chicken and put it on a plate for us to eat, and then you're like, this was good 2 minutes ago. Now all the moisture has just been sucked into the atmosphere.
Well, part of it is that you burn the roof of your mouth off. So,
oh, God.
You know, you're just thinking about that part.
Yeah.
It's like eating Captain Crunch.
Oh, God damn it.
And it's gone.
It's not gone. That's the rumor.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch. My wife is really into cinnamon toast crunch. She will go through a box. Like, even before she was pregnant, she'll like, oh, yeah, I bought this box of Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I'm like, oh, yeah, cool, you know. And then she'll have a bowl for breakfast, and then she'll end up having a bowl for lunch, then a bowl for a snack before dinner, and then a bowl for dinner.
I could totally do that.
You know,
I eat cereal.
Don't tell my
wife
I said that.
I eat cereal for dinner way too often.
In the last week, Cinnamon Toast Crunch has been referenced probably 5 times. I have a coworker who talked about it. Now you guys are talking about it. I was never a huge Cinnamon Toast Crunch guy. Huh. I never that.
You know what? One I like.
My parents never bought me sugar cereal.
Cereal, yeah.
Like it was like the extent of it was. I think the highest sugar content we ever got was. Honey Nut Cheerios.
Mm. Oh, I like a honey.
No, honeycombs are like that. They're like giant.
Yeah, but they always seemed like if some
like
parents were
fucking packing peanuts or something.
Yeah, but
it
always seemed like parents who were delving into that sugary cereal often went with the honeycomb because I don't know, honey's in it, so that's natural and that's good. That's all. That's kind of what I always.
No, I never got that.
I've never had honeycomb cereal.
Oh man,
I've had it.
I
think I've had it like 3 or 4 times, and every time it was just like. It got too soggy too quickly.
Well, it's an
like,
acquired.
I don't like that.
It's an
like
acquired taste. It really is.
It is.
No, yeah. It's an awful cereal, but I loved it as a kid. And it does. It sogs up way too quickly.
I think I know the answer for you, but did you ever get duped into Kix?
I used to love Kix. And then they came out with Berry Berry Kix.
Berry Kix are great.
Oh,
but did you ever get duped into the regular Kix when you were a kid?
All the time.
These are going to be amazing.
I've seen the commercial. It's on during the cartoons. This is going to be delicious.
Yeah, yeah.
Shane has it at his house. Pour me a bowl. Pour me a bowl. Let's watch some cartoons. What the fuck is this shit?
Yeah, that's packing peanuts.
No,
I used to
love Kix, but you'd have to eat it so quickly because they would. They would get real soggy real quick. So
the Berry Berry Kix is amazing.
And then you're like, I'm still hungry. I need more. Yeah. I need more. I need more. Well, hey, guys, this has been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you.
I've been wanting to talk about Safeway for a long time. And every time I listen to your show, I find myself yelling at my radio because I'm like, yes, yes.
Good.
Totally, because I agree with you guys a lot on a lot that you have to say about food.
Thank you, sir.
And we'll have you on real soon. I promise, in two years.
I hope so. Yeah. 2 years' time, I will be on that show. And you guys, I'm definitely going to want to have you guys back because we got more stuff that that we didn't get to talk about, like how you guys made movies and tucked your shirts into your pants.
I don't know if I'm going to make it. It's a long walk to get to your house, so I'm not going to make it again.
What is it, 4 blocks?
Something like that.
Can I just say this, though? You guys are fans of the Mandarin Gate, right? You guys go to the Mandarin
Gate.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
We frequent the Mandarin Gate. They have the best General Tso's chicken.
No way.
I love a General Tso.
There's no way. Cause
no,
I've,
they
I've,
do. They
I've
do.
Had I've had the General's chicken there, and to me, it was chicken balls with ketchup on it. It's been a while, and to each his own. But I will eat the General Tso's at the Twin Dragon restaurant across the street from the Mandarin Gate. That place is amazing.
I've never been there.
Go there.
I need to go there then. Go but, like, at general at the General Tso's at Mandarin Gate is, like, big hunks of actual chicken.
I do remember that, yeah.
They're, like, huge, like, pieces of actual chicken. Like, you can tell it's fucking chicken.
I got to give it a shot again.
You got to try it again.
I don't get into Chinese food anymore. I'm beyond it. I don't know. It's just starchy, and it doesn't really have a lot of flavor.
You've always kind of taken that stance with it.
I used to like it. When I was younger, I used to really like Chinese food. And then I think I discovered Thai food, and I've moved on.
See, I think the problem with...
We need to all go to dim sum, I think, is what we need to do.
I was just there last night. Wait. No, dim sum is the...
Dim sum is like the big... You know, it's like almost like tapas.
That's right.
They bring out little...
They cart your...
Yeah. I'm sorry. I got confused. I was over at...
Din Tai Fung?
Yes, I finally went there last night.
You know, I've been there for lunch because I work close to there, and that is excellent.
Yeah, it was good. Had excellent it last food. Night.
Okay, guys. Well, we got to... Yeah, let's wrap it up here. We're running a little bit long in the tooth because these guys just love to talk about themselves.
can't shut up.
Right. So let's do this. Once again, your wonderful... smart, amazing host Aaron has not planned out the show correctly and forgot to get a song together. How about we hear something from the Sonics, old Seattle band? I still can't find anything. Let's just go random. Okay, we'll see you next week with the band Yarn Owl from Spokane, Washington, with one of the members from Band of Horses. And they're a great band, and I would urge any of you, or all of you, whatever, fuck you. I would urge all of you to go and check them out. They're going to be playing at the Columbia City Theater next weekend on the 26th with a friendly band to the Air Raid podcast, Legendary Oaks. So they'll be there on the 26th. I don't know if they're opening or not, but show probably starts around 9. Yarn Owl, check it out, and we'll be talking with them next week. Have a great week, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you later.